All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we're getting ready to take a look into a subject that I began some time ago as we began to pose the question, should prostitution be legalized? We're going to continue. We're going to stay with procon.org, but just turn this a little bit. We're not going to look so much at prostitution as something that is somewhat related to it, somewhat, and that is human trafficking. Now, I said somewhat related. Why did I say prostitution is somewhat related to human trafficking, as opposed to saying that they're both the very same thing? And because they really are not the very same thing. Human trafficking. And so one of the questions to ask is, okay, we know that when it comes to trafficking in cocaine, someone is dealing cocaine. You have people buying and selling cocaine. We have someone who is about the business of trafficking in narcotics. They're receiving narcotics and they're selling it, having it distributed on the streets. When we're when people are trafficking in humans, what are they doing? I mean, with the cocaine, we pretty much know that it's going to be snorted up someone's nose. That's about it. You know, sometimes people might cook it or whatever, but basically that's what they're going to do with it. We know that basically when people traffic in crack cocaine, people are going to smoke it. You know, the various ways that it's going to be used to get people high. What are, you know, you traffic in guns. We know that someone's going to be buying the guns and then they're going to sell them to someone else so that the guns can be used basically to kill people. What about trafficking in humans? What's happening there? You know, it's tempting to hear or read the phrase human trafficking and think, okay, they're going to be selling people for sex, for their sexual pleasure. And that could be right, because human trafficking does involve sexual exploitation. But that is not the only use of human trafficking. In the United, in 2000, the United Nations talked about human trafficking. And this is what they conveyed. Trafficking in persons shall mean the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by means of the threat or use of force or other forms of coercion, of abduction, where, you know, basically you've kidnapped that person, of fraud, of deception, of the abuse of power, or of a position of vulnerability, or of the giving or receiving of payments or benefits to achieve the consent of a person having control over another person for the purpose of exploitation. Now, that was a mouthful. It has to do with getting a person from one place to another, using threat or the use of force, abduction, etc., giving or receiving payments or some other benefits as they exercise control over another person, and for the purpose of exploitation. Exploitation shall include, at a minimum, the exploitation of the prostitution of others or other forms of sexual exploitation. But wait now, I know some of you are saying, wait, hold up. That's what we were saying. Human trafficking has to do with, you know, we didn't say it the way you just said it, sexual exploitation, but that's what we were getting at. I got you, and I'm with you. But here's the thing. We're not finished yet. It has to do with the exploitation of the prostitution of others or other forms of sexual exploitation or forced labor or services slavery or practices similar to slavery, servitude, or the removal of organs. Trafficking in humans in order to get their organs so that they can be sold to people who are looking for kidneys or who are looking for whatever organs they want to have planted inside their own bodies or bodies of a loved one. And they decided that waiting for the system to work and have those organs provided, it's just going to take too long. And so people are stolen, abducted. Their lives taken, their organs taken. Okay, listen to this. The U.S. Department of Justice, the DOJ, trying to encourage the fighting of trafficking in persons. Trafficking in persons, which is also known as human trafficking, is a form of modern-day slavery. Trafficking in human beings is a form of modern-day slavery. What were the white Americans doing with black Americans from Africa in the days of America's slavery period? They were trafficking in humans. They were abducting humans, black humans, and selling them to other people in various parts of the country, all across the country. Human trafficking is a form of modern day slavery. Very often, when the black people were captured and being prepared for sale, they were also ripped apart, ripped away from their family members. Trafficking in persons is a form of modern day slavery. Traffickers often prey on individuals who are poor, frequently unemployed or frequently underemployed, and who may lack access to social safety nets, predominantly women and children in certain countries. Victims are often lured with false promises of good jobs and better lives and then forced to work under brutal and inhuman conditions. And we know we've heard and read quite a bit about that. How about this whole matter of individuals who are poor, frequently unemployed, frequently underemployed? In America, people of color, and especially the black race, are often forced into situations like that. We have a lot of people in America who are working very, very hard to see to it that public schools in the inner cities receive less and less funding. We have people who make sure that the vast majority of children, students, who are kicked out of school are black. And it's not always justified. Very often it is not justified. Some of you may recall a conversation that I had a few years ago when I shared with you the conversation that several women had who were taking their children to the same daycare center. Some of the mothers talked about how their children had been hitting other children, how their children had been biting other children. One talked about how her child simply didn't get up and move fast enough when the teacher instructed her to move. I think that was the issue. And, well, I tell you, people, the child who did not move fast enough was expelled from school. Expelled. And we're talking K-5, kindergarten. The child who did not move fast enough was expelled, immediately expelled from school. Good student, good manners, just didn't move fast enough. I think that was the issue. And the child was immediately expelled from school. The child who was biting other students without being provoked. Simply had a letter sent home to the parents, encouraging, letting them know what was going on and encouraging them to have a talk with their child. Another child who was hitting other students, other children, without being provoked, also had a very nice letter, kind letter sent to the parents, letting them know, hey, this is what your child is doing. You might want to have a talk with your child. The child who didn't move fast enough did move, but not as fast. And I think the issue may have been that at first the child did not know she was being instructed to move. It was something very, very minor like that. She was immediately expelled from school, while the other two children, one biting, the other hitting, only had very kind letters sent home encouraging their parents to have a talk with their children. The child who was expelled for not moving fast enough was a black child. The child who was biting and simply had a letter sent home was white. The child who was hitting and simply had a letter sent home was white. And so we have a lot of people who are committed to doing everything in their power to get black students out of school, because one of the things that they know happens is this. They know that when a child is expelled from school, it has a negative impact on them psychologically, especially if they were innocent. And one of the things that happens is this. The research shows child is expelled from school once, they may begin to wonder if maybe they're a bad child. If they get expelled from school more than once, they may conclude that they are a bad child. And once they conclude that they are bad, they make it their business to live up to or to live down to that conclusion. And they begin to really misbehave, doing the very thing that a lot of people whose hearts are filled with hatred want them to do. Keep acting out so that they almost guarantee that as they get older, they end up in the prison system and end up thereby losing rights and all kinds of experiencing all kinds of other losses. Human trafficking. The traffickers often prey on individuals who are poor, frequently unemployed, frequently underemployed. And in America, who is most likely to be unemployed? Who is most likely to be underemployed? And like I've shared with you before, no situation creates itself. People create the situations that people find ourselves in. Traffickers often prey on individuals who may lack access to social safety nets. There are reasons that we have people right here in America who are dedicated to making sure that not all Americans have access to healthcare coverage. There are reasons that people in America are dedicated to making it harder and harder for only certain populations of the country to vote. There are reasons that we have certain people in our country who have committed themselves to doing everything possible to make it harder and harder for people to get higher education, making sure that whatever programs are in place that are used to help provide financial assistance in one way or another, whether it's food assistance, whether it's finances, if it goes to the poor, they want to make sure that as much as possible, that money, that assistance is whittled away if not just completely eliminated overnight. There are people who are committed to making sure that as much of the social safety net that they can, as they can, they will get rid of. That's what they want to do. And remember, traffickers traffic, they prey on individuals who are poor, but also who may lack access to social safety nets. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 18. Modern day slavery. When the kings of the earth, I'm beginning at verse 9. Well, let's begin at verse 8. Therefore, in one day, this is talking about Babylon, which is a city of rulers, basically, city of very, very powerful people who basically run the world. And this is what our Creator is conveying to us in Revelation chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. When the kings of the earth, who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury, see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe! Woe, O great city! O Babylon, city of power! Babylon, city of power!" A city that was able to exercise influence over the entire world, the entire earth. "In one hour, your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore." And this is what I'm getting to. I really want us to really develop a strong appreciation for this business of human trafficking, whether it has to do with sexual exploitation or labor exploitation. You're getting people to give up their bodies so that other folks can get their sexual pleasures. You got folks who are being forced to do hard labor under inhuman conditions so that the people that they're working for get paid big time, while the people doing the work get paid little to nothing. Just like in the days of slavery. That's why they're saying human trafficking is modern day slavery. I want you to listen. They said that the merchants of the earth will have no one to buy their cargoes anymore once the city of power is destroyed. Now, that's in verse 11. I want to skip down to the last clause in verse 13, because that's going to take us to the quote unquote cargoes that I specifically want us to focus on. Horses and carriages. These are some of the cargoes, as it's called in this particular translation, are no longer going to be able to be sold once the city of power is destroyed. Horses and carriages and bodies and souls of men. I'm reading from the New International Version. Bodies and souls of men will no longer be for sale, but they will have been for sale up to that point, up to the day of destruction of the city of power. They will say, "The fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet,'" all signifying wealth, great wealth, "and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin." And you're going to have more and more people seeing that Those who are trading with this city of power will no longer be able to trade with that city of power because the city will be destroyed. And can you imagine that of all that will be no longer sold, it is good that they will no longer be able to trade, traffic in the bodies and souls of men. But it is so tragic that they will already have done so. Trafficking in the bodies and souls of men. What does it do to humans when they treat their fellow humans that way? To sell them. Have you ever thought about what it would feel like to be sold? Would you be okay if you sold for $1 million? Would you be okay if you sold for $500,000? How about if you were sold for $1,000?